Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Don't use the dope.
teach. Teach the truth.
Wake up, preacher.
Abruptly. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and tonight on Bringing Sexy Back, the topic is the Trayvon Martin trial is a joke. And it is a joke. But first of all, I want to, you know, say good evening to everybody, and, you know, thanks for stopping by, everybody who is stopping by. I've started going back to the pool. And I'm telling you, I'm just having a ball in that water. It feels so good getting in that water. Everything's been going good in my life. Everything's good. Embarking on a few different projects now and, you know, trying to keep my head above water, keep doing what I do, and keep talking to people like you. With that being said, I'm going to bring in my two co-hosts. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing, Rhea and Danny?
Fine. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Good evening. I'm here.
Well, at least you're here. You know, some people are not here. You know.
Okay, let's put it like this. I'm better off than the last time we talked.
Oh, well, that, you sound like it, too. You definitely sound like it. I'm so glad.
Yeah. I am so glad. The coffin has left a little bit. Congestion is almost gone, and I can actually breathe.
Well, I am so glad, girl, because you were sounding so pitiful.
Oh, my God. And I was trying so hard to finish that conversation, and that coffin wouldn't stop. I'm like, just shut up.
Well, I am so glad you're feeling better, Rhea. I really am, because I know, you know, how it is to be down and out and, you know, not feeling good. And you sometimes you want to force yourself to do things, you know, but I wasn't going to keep you on the phone, darling, not the way you were sounding. And I could almost feel how you was feeling.
Well, I think I was going stir crazy at that point, because I have been down since Wednesday. And other than my daughter, who was basically calling and fussing at me, I didn't have much communication. And I said, oh, I got a live body I can talk to. But it wasn't meant to happen. That conversation was getting good, and that coffin was getting stronger, and I couldn't hardly breathe. I'm like, oh, my. Just stop, Rhea. Just stop.
I'm
better.
Well, that's good. So we are ready for tonight's topic. I'm going to say this much about it. I don't feel that anything about it is right, because, number one, it should have been. When did this happen? In 2011?
No, it was 12.
Oh, it happened last year? I thought it happened in 2011.
Uh-uh. It was 12.
Oh, okay. Well, then he never got arrested for it, so it should have been. The trial should have been over and done with. He should have been locked up. Because, number one, I don't see any self-defense, because how can it be self-defense when he had a can of tea and some Skittles and Zimmerman had a gun? That's not self-defense. Self-defense, or maybe they need to defy it differently, because self-defense, from my understanding, is if I had a gun and you had a gun, Rhea, and you went to shoot me, but I got you first, that's self-defense. You don't take a knife to a gunfight or a gun to a knife fight. You have the same weapon, or you know, it's just the point of who gets to who first, and that's self-defense. If somebody's trying to do harm to you and you're defending yourself by any means necessary, but well, how can he defend himself with a can of tea and a bag of Skittles? And then the fact of the matter, they're saying that that was Zimmerman screaming and hollering. Why is he screaming and hollering and he had a gun? You see what I'm saying? They're trying to turn this around in his favor because his father was an ex-judge, blah, 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 whatever. You know, and then the, then his attorney opening up with that dumb knock-knock joke. You know, why are they making a spectacle out of this situation and making it, you know, it's just so downright disrespectful. The whole thing of it is just disrespectful, how they putting his mother on the stand and asking her, you know, to, if that's her, her child's cry. I don't care. When my kids were young and they were outside in the yard, and I don't care if it was a million zillion kids out there screaming and hollering, if I heard my child screaming, I knew it was my child's voice, because we're given that instinct to know our children's voice from any other person, any other child's voice. We know our child's voice. You see what I'm saying? So that's an assault to her. You know, then his mother saying that it was him. Give me a break. Then he's these falsified injuries to his head. Looked like he probably cut himself in the back of his head or whatever. But if his head was getting banged so bad in that sidewalk, it would have been busted open. You know, and then the people are changing their stories up. It's horrible how they, you know, do these things like that and talking about stand your grounds. There's a lady in Florida whose husband was approaching her, and she shot in the ceiling. Didn't shoot him or anything. They gave her 20 years. Mm-hmm. Where's her stand the ground? You see what I'm saying? So I'm just wondering, do you think it's maybe racially motivated, or, you know, what's the deal with that? Because I've heard a lot of horror stories about Sanford, Florida, and Florida, period. Some places down in Florida just, you know, are just so prejudiced. And, you know, I'm just wondering, is this trial, what are your voices on it? Do you think it's race-motivated, or is DeMartin's going to come out victorious over it? Or just, you know, what is your take on it, and what do you have to say about it? Either one of you can go first.
Well, as far as his stand, originally it was stand your ground, okay? Mm-hmm. They switched it when the trial actually started to self-defense. It was all the time it was stand your ground until the trial started, and then they came out with the self-defense instead of the stand your ground. Part of the reason I think they did that is because I truly believe he violated whatever it was they were talking about as far as that stand your ground go, when mm-hmm. they told him not to follow him, and he followed him and basically accosted him. Because if you really look at that, that man stalked that. He stalked that boy. Mm-hmm. You know, if they want to try to call Trayvon Martin a man, that was a child. That was not a man. That was a child. He basically stalked that child, and then, when he turned the tables on him and started beating his ass, then that's when the problem arose, number mm-hmm. one. So they tend to bring the self-defense in as opposed to the stand your ground, because he clearly was told by that 911 operator, do not do that. Do not get out of your car. Do not follow him. And he did it anyway. I think that's why they switched it. Because if that's the case, then Ron Martin was standing his ground. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he said that he did have a weapon. He had the concrete. I swear, after day two, I couldn't take it no more. I couldn't take it no more. And then, you know what kills me? They start these trials so long after something done occurred, and then going to sit back and ask you, and what did you do on that day? How the hell I know?
Yeah, because like I mentioned in the beginning, it should have been, this trial should basically been started last year and be over with, and Zimmer should be serving his time.
But even if you look at him now, he done picked up all his weight. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's now Trayvon Martin is at the, you know, supreme of his, you know, muscular and an athlete and a football player and a this and a that. And then that's what you're looking at in court, which is given, in my opinion, is a giving him sympathy and this and the other. That's not how he looked, first of all, at the time that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
He's gained a good probably 50, 60 pounds, if not more,
than
what he was back then. And I just, his record kind of speaks for itself. But unfortunately, especially after listening to what I could, because after a while it just my soul just hurt every time I listened to it. After listening to what's going on, if he's convicted, he's not going to be convicted of manslaughter to the second degree.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just convict him of manslaughter, then that's probably going to end up being equivalent to his plea of self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that I do believe that the treatment he received and all such as that is a direct result of the fact that his father is a retired judge from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, that shooting occurred right near 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
He reported to that police station, I think it was like 11:41.
Mm.
Really? He was allowed to leave that scene?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have been able to leave the scene. They would have had me handcuffed and in the police car and taken straight to the police station.
Yep.
It really, really to me shows the ineffectiveness and inequality that still exists within our so-called judicial system.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't, like I said, I don't feel as though justice is going to be served. But I'm kind of praying that the backlash is not too great to where others get in trouble because of the backlash.
Right.
But there's a part of me, and I know this is wrong, but there's a part of me that thinks street justice may be served. And if it is, more power to it.
Yeah, just would wish that it gets served to him, you know, opposed to them tearing up the whole city and, you know, all this and that. If somebody can get him and yoke him up a few times and beat the crap out of him, you know, that would be kind of good, you know. But if he does go to jail, they're going to put him in solitary confinement.
They ain't going to have no choice because he's not going to live if he does.
Mm-hmm. They're
going to get back at him.
Mm-hmm. And they probably sent him to a camp because his father is a retired judge. But trust and believe, he may have gotten away with it here on this earth right here. And as far as man is concerned, but God always has the last word.
Definitely.
You know, he still has him to face as well. And they was talking about discussing a trace of marijuana that was found in Trayvon's system during the autopsy. If he had reefer, cocaine, whatever in his system, that still is not a justification for this guy to shoot him or to kill him. I mean, why do they have to dig up things that are so irrelevant? Trayvon Martin, he cannot speak for himself because he's dead. Zimmerman, he has all these people saying this, changing their story up. Well, it was a guy on top of him, and he was beating his head, blah, 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 but then he was on top of him. And, you know, so it's just a whole big mess and a whole big mockery of how things are really supposed to be going down, because if they had jumped on this case when it first happened, because even people's memories you know, from that night, they may have something else could have came along and, you know, they may thought over it again and said, well, did I really see that? Or, you know, it's just so many things that has been lost in all that time. And see, I think purposely that was done because they honestly, I really don't think they would have done anything if there wasn't an outcry to get Zimmerman off the streets.
I agree.
You know, so, and then, oh my goodness, it's just, it's terrible. Then it was something that was said that the rest of the prosecutions have pegged their second-degree murder charges largely on the idea that Martin was losing the fight on February 26th of last year, that he shouted for help, and that Zimmerman, a vigilant would-be cop, shot and killed him anyway. And plotting their route to conviction, they necessarily bypass another set of questions. What if he wasn't losing the fight? What if Zimmerman is the one who called for help? What if Martin did swing first? And most crucially, is an unarmed black teenager ever entitled to stand his ground? I mean, come on. Come on. Here's a man with a gun. And that Trayvon Martin was probably scared to death. And then they bring up the fact that he called him a creepy cracker. If I turned around and somebody was walking behind me, and I'm trying to speed up, and they speed up, I'm going to think something, they creepy or something, especially a white person is walking behind me, and he has a gun. And then I'm trying to figure out what made, how did the confrontation even start? Because if he was coming up behind Trayvon, he had to have yelled something out to him or said something to him to cause Trayvon to even have the confrontation with him. This is just the way I'm seeing it. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, though nobody really know what happened but him and Zimmerman, and Martin's dead.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just, it's so mind-boggling, so crazy, and just so mixed up. They had on the television today that they're preparing, they had a commercial on where people are saying, stay calm, don't lose it, you know, blah, 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 blah. But people are being fed up. Black people specifically are being fed up because we're always being put down, then we never get the justice that is due us on anything. You know, they just kill a black person and it's justifiable homicide. They just kill a black person and that's good. They just kill a black person, that's one less black person on the earth. And that's not right and that's not fair. When they have something that goes on with the white person, they put out the whole militia, the whole army, the Marines, the Air Force, everybody to look for them. Little black children have been missing for days and weeks, and have they attempted to look for them? Nope. Nope. So I'm just weighing it, as you know, is it, you know, things like this are just frustrates me because the judicial system does not work for everybody. And especially if you're a person of color.
Danny, what is your take on it?
She is not on the line. I don't know what happened to her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know. I think my frustration started, it started day two. I got through the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think. Well, I don't remember what happened. I think it started day two. When he kept reading a statement. When the young lady was on the stand and he kept telling her that, oh, this is the thing. No, I know where my frustration started. When he was giving his opening, whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
He basically was telling a story. That's not what I'm used to. And she let him go on way too long. She got frustrated. She being the judge. She got frustrated
mm-hmm.
with him. When I say him, I mean the one named Guy. Guy West or whatever, mm-hmm. the one named West. That she got frustrated with him on more than one occasion, and you could see her frustration, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like the defense is asking the same questions and being allowed to ask the same question repeatedly, either in the same manner or just a slight variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought there was a such thing of asked and answered. I mean, you know, it's like at some point that enough is enough. And when she asked him how much longer was that lady going to be on the stand, he said, oh, I don't know. She could be on there for 10 hours, 12 hours, two more days. And she said, oh, what?
Mm.
I love her because she said, oh, everything about her was just crushed. And I know he was trying to shake her, mm-hmm. to rattle her, but you know, I've heard people talk about defense attorneys, and I guess I never felt that way until I'm seeing as much as I've seen of this one, and mm-hmm. it's like, so win at all case. I mean, justice or the truth don't mean a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and none of that. And it's like, okay, Rhea, that's naive. But it's true. And then part of me wants to still believe that justice will prevail. No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. Because there's really not justice for us as a people in a lot of ways.
That's true.
Now, those of us who have money, if you notice, they function under a totally different justice system than we do.
Oh, no doubt.
But I have money.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, and it's like it's really, really sad that there's a possibility this man's going to get off after killing that child. And there was no justification, none whatsoever. He walking down the street with a hoodie on and it's raining. First of all, he got a hoodie on because it's raining. Oh, so mm-hmm. he just can't walk in the rain. I must be crazy mm-hmm. as a Betsy B, because almost every time it's not pouring down, I'm out there walking in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's horrible. It's really horrible.
Well, this little article here says Trayvon Martin was a visitor to the community. Nowhere in Zimmerman's initial emergency call does he broach the idea that Martin might belong there, that he might actually be someone who warranted protection too. Instead, there's this snap judgment that the teenager is one of the fucking punks who always get away, a judgment
exactly.
that Zimmerman supporters and the Sanford Police Department either co-sign or deem reasonable enough to absolve him from responsibility for what ensured. Now, that right there tells you that Zimmerman had it already in his mind what he was going to do. Talking about they always get away.
Yep.
So I guess he said to himself, well, he is one that ain't going to get away. And he made sure he didn't. You know, and I think that's just, oh, my God, that is just so sad. I cannot imagine how his parents feel, because I've never lost a child. But, you know, just the pain and the suffering that they're going through. And then, if Zimmerman wins the case, it's like they just been kicked again, all over again, like they just went through all that for nothing. You know, so I just feel that, you know, I just hope that justice gets served to Zimmerman, because he does deserve to go to jail. He does deserve time, and he doesn't deserve to see the light of day again, because Trayvon Martin would not be walking the streets with a hoodie or anything else on ever again. So Zimmerman should never see the light of day again, because he intentionally killed that boy with malice in his heart. And then the girlfriend, the way they just, I'm just, and then I just seen little things all over the internet, the way they talked about her, you know, saying that she was ignorant and this and that. I think, isn't she Haitian or something? Because she's...
Yeah, English is not her first language.
Right,
and actually,
right.
She's fluent in, I think, in either two or three other languages.
Mm-hmm, but they're saying she's ignorant, this and that, you know, but... She's telling what had happened because she was on the phone with Trayvion that night. And his little thing here says that Rachel Gentile raised in her testimony that Martin himself was afraid that a black person might assist a man following him in a car and on foot as a threat. Never mind that he might have seen Zimmerman's weapon and suspected his life was in danger. The defense
exactly.
paid a great deal of attention to the implications of Martin referring to Zimmerman as a creepy-ass cracker. But to the extent that we think about the exquisite, we're concerned with the word cracker. I mean, what was he supposed to say? He was afraid of a creepy, and the man probably was creepy. Can you just, I'm just imagining Zimmerman. Now, I'm not seeing him like the size he is now. I'm just seeing him as the size he was then. And
mm-hmm.
he's walking behind me, and every time I speed up, he speeds up. And, you know, I'm going to speed up some more. He's going to speed up some more. And I'm like, what is this creepy fool behind me for? You know, then I might turn him and say, are you following me? You know, what's up? But I just, you know, would really wish that the truth would come out, but I know it's not because that's why he didn't want, that's why his lawyers didn't want him to take the stand. Because Zimmerman probably would get up there and get the fumbling and mumbling and blurt out the truth of the whole matter. But, you know, it's just a sad situation. It's really a sad situation. And hopefully, you know, they will get justice for his parents and for Trayvion. But I don't know. I guess we got to wait and see about that. So what are they saying that the trial is? They're saying that the trial is getting ready to, it's getting ready to go to the jury or something.
They're getting ready. Tomorrow, defense has rested their case. And tomorrow, they're supposed to be doing their closing arguments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but, you know, hopefully, like I said, everything will work out. But if it don't, then I don't know. Maybe they may have some riots on their hand or something, you know, and that's going to be another.
I hope not, because
they
tear up their own stuff, you know.
Right, that's exactly right.
A lot of those riots to me are stupid because
mm-hmm.
you don't accomplish, you actually accomplish nothing. And you end up tearing up your own neighborhoods, tearing up your own stuff, vandalizing, you know, where you dwell at, and
right.
only add to the urban blight. It just it distracts. It doesn't help, and it's not going to accomplish anything. You know, I know we don't talk politics on this show, but like I've said it before, and I stand behind this. You can see the direct and purposeful change in the climate since our president was elected. You can, I mean, it has gotten so disgustingly bad. You've never seen certain things happen and people saying certain things like they have now. They feel just as comfortable saying and doing whatever they want to do. And some of those things are racist. So the whole racial climate has declined to the degree. I'm not saying it wasn't there before. But
right.
it's declined to a degree now, right now. I mean, now to the point where they feel comfortable just like at least in the workplace, people kept their feelings to themselves. They didn't just walk down the hallway and say that damn nigga. This, that, you know what I'm saying? Oh,
yeah.
You get all kinds of things nowadays.
Yep, because it's just to the point now where they're just coming out with it. They don't care. So that's what they're going to do, that nigger this, this nigger that, you know. But my thing is, like I had mentioned on, I think it was the last show that we had, it's not what you're called, it's what you answer to. Because
that's
they can
true.
Call me anything they want, but if it's not the right name, they get no response out of me. I'm sorry. And some white people have a habit of calling you by any, just calling you any name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll just say, well, Sue, what you doing over there? Because I think it was, I forgot where I was working at, it was one particular job. And the supervisor, I didn't even know he was talking to me. You know, he just kept saying, I kept hearing him say this name, but I kept doing what I was doing. So he came over and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, you didn't hear me talking to you? So I turned around. I said, no. So I said, he called me. I think he was calling me Ann or some old crazy name. So I said, that's not my name. Now, I was working for this man long enough for him to know my name. But, see, they get to a point where they just feel, well, I just call it whatever. And that's so disrespectful. You know, I can understand somebody forgetting your name and saying, well, you know, I forgot your name. What is your name? That's just like one time I called this girl. Now, she was a black girl. We worked together at one point. And I called her. I wasn't calling her by her name. I was calling her by another name. And she never said anything. I mean, it was about a whole year. And we were standing at the elevator, and somebody came up and said her name. So I said, is that your name? She said, yeah. I said, why did you let me call you out of your name like that? Every time I would say, hey, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so.
Oh, wow.
We would talk, you know. And she said, well, I just, you know, she said it wasn't no problem. It is a problem because, number one, if you know my name, that's what I expect you to call me. And see, I just thought that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
But she accepted it. But if somebody calls me out of my name or something, you know, call me somebody else's name, I say, well, that's not my name. You know, and I'm not going to answer to anybody else's name. And if you forgot, you can come up to me and say, well, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. What's your name? Again, I'm sorry if I called you so-and-so, whatever. You know, but I'm not going to just answer to anything that you call me, especially something that's derogatory. You know, you don't call me outside of, you know, don't call me no B, don't call me, you know, all those derogatory names that people say are names of endearment or whatever. They may be endearment to some people, but it's not endearment to me. You know, everybody has their own thing, and I don't knock nobody for it, but, you know, that's not endearment to me. And I don't call women outside of their names, you know, my friends or anything outside of their names. But it's just so sad that we're still going through this, and it'll never end. It's not going to end. People want it to end, but you know what? It's never going to end because we're keeping it going. In the rap songs, the rappers, and, you know, Tyler Perry, and, you know, all of them, they're keeping it going. So white people just feel, well, hey, we'll just get on the bandwagon, too. They said we're going to say it. You know, and then there's always this apology behind it. They always have to apologize for this and apologize for that. But don't apologize if you don't mean it. That don't mean anything. You know, to say you sorry, just like that Imus guy called the girls nappy-headed hoes. He apologized, lost his job, but he got another job paying more money, you know. How do they chastise these people?
They don't.
Mm-hmm. Just like Dog the Bounty Hunter called his son's girlfriend outside of her name. It took a show off for a minute, but it came back on. You see what I'm saying? So there's no justice when it comes to us. You know, there's no justice just for us. And I was on this site. I didn't even know this site is called... what is the name of it? Because I wrote it down. But it's a site where white people express so much hatred on this site. It's called, because I ran across it by accident. wrote it down somewhere. Where did I write it? It's called, I forget the name of it. But it's I was looking for something that was said in the movie The Godfather, and I pulled it up, Googled it, and got on it. In that movie, it was two statements, because one of them was they didn't use, and one of them that he did use, but I'm going to read both of them. In the movie The Godfather, did you see The Godfather, first of all?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. In the movie, this is one of the statements they had. It said, give the drugs to the niggers. The animals, anyway, let them lose their souls. Then another statement they put in, I think this is the one that they had taken out. It said, I want to control it as a business to keep it respectable. I don't want it near schools. I don't want it sold to children. That's an infamy. In my city, we would keep the traffic in the dark people, the coloreds, the animals anyway, so let them lose their souls. That is just so distasteful. But when he said a creepy cracker, they want to make a big deal out of that.
Yep.
But they just say all kind of crazy things geared towards black people until it don't make sense. It don't make an ounce of sense.
Did Demi come back on?
Let me see. No. I don't know what happened to her. Yeah.
I know. When it first started, the negative thoughts were the biggest thoughts I was having. And then I tried to be positive and just let, you know, hopefully justice will be served. And as it started moving on, I said, justice is not going to be served, because if it was, this wouldn't still, you know, certain things wouldn't have been happening. And I know my heart broke for those parents to have to sit there in that court on that first day and see their son, the picture of their son dead on the ground, number one.
So that was actually him on the ground?
That was actually him. They showed the actual picture.
Yes. Right, that was on the internet. Mm-hmm.
Day one. They showed the actual bullet wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed it without the clothing. They showed it with the clothing, then the actual entry wound, you know, the actual wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here saying to myself, I wouldn't be able to breathe. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
the last. And then to hear that he was alive from anywhere from 1 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And excruciating pain because he was shot directly in the heart. But not just that, Zimmerman, after he shot him, he got on top of him and pressed him into the ground. And all I'm sitting here thinking to myself is, because he was holding him down and telling that guy, the neighbor, to go call the police. And all I'm sitting here thinking to myself is, the even the pain, it wasn't even an immediate death. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
He suffered before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, and the whole thing, I wouldn't be able to breathe. My heart hurt so bad for those parents that day. And I'm sitting at one point, the father jumped up and ran out the courtroom. And they just kept panning the camera on them, just kept panning. And you know, it's like you can't win for losing. It's just unfathomable to me. That has to be one of the absolute hardest things that any parent, you know, I mean, your child is dead. But then to have to hear that recounting of that, and this lady was talking on Facebook, her nephew had been killed. and she was fussing at the medical examiner. She said, okay, why is he candy coating this? Why don't he just say it like it is? Why don't he just give the hard facts? He said, because that's the hard reality. People need to hear it just like it, you know, was, and they kept saying he was candy coating it. I wasn't able to watch the day he got on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, it the whole situation, and it's so damn senseless.
Yes, it is.
It didn't even have to occur. It's like, that young man was not doing anything to anybody. You know, if he had stayed in the house and not decided to go to the store and bag him some junk, he would be alive, right?
Yep. Wow. Or Zimmerman had to step back when the police told him to step back.
Exactly.
But see, he had already had it made up in his mind, just like he said.
Oh, sure he
they
did.
They always get away. So that was the night that one of them was not going to get away. Unfortunately, it was Trevion. You know, so that was that. He already had that planned out, what he was going to do. Because do they, well, I guess they can carry guns around, but I'm still trying to see where the confrontation came in.
Well, he claimed that he lost sight of Trevion, and he got out of his car to go look at the address on the building to tell the police where he was, and Trevion jumped out the bushes and said, "You following me? What the fuck is your problem?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody gonna die tonight. This is the shit he's saying. That don't even make no sense. That don't even make no sense. Where does it all fit at? I'm like, really? Oh, so somebody gonna die tonight. Really? Really?
Yeah, he...
Black people don't talk. The average black guy don't even talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I sit here like, did they just say that? Now you're gonna make it up. Now you're gonna really make the story up in any way it goes. And this is for the fly.
It would be a
blessing if justice was served, because as far as I'm concerned, there's no question in this. When that 911 operator told him, do not get out that car, do not follow him. If that's the case, when he broke both of those, he was breaking the law.
Yeah.
Where's the question at? There is no question. You did what you were told not to do. Yeah, are you following him?
Sure.
We don't need you to do that. Don't do that. You broke it. Right then and there. So how can you have under the cover of quote unquote neighborhood watch when you are breaking the whole purpose of neighborhood watch is for you to watch and contact the police. You don't already broke the process that the police have in place in order to you're the damn criminal.
Yep, he sure is. He most definitely is. And you know, like, I just hope and I just pray that justice prevail in Trevion Martin's favor, because enough is enough. Enough is enough. They've killed enough of these young black men. Then they're closing the schools down because they say there's not enough money to keep them open. But they're building these multi-million-dollar jails. You know, they already have it. They already know what's going to happen. They already know that they're going to be locking up all these black young men who are doing things, doing crimes out of survival, or just doing crimes to be doing crimes. But they already know what they're doing. How can you close a school down?
Yeah, Chicago just closed 50 of them, sweetie.
And then they be telling everybody,
telling
kids to stay in school. It's important to get your education. Well, what school do they want them to stay in? The schools in the jails, or, you know, because it doesn't seem like they want them to stay in the schools that are out here, because they're closing them down. And and then they're talking about there's no money and all this kind of stuff, but they have money to build those jails.
And they build these jails in these, in some of these, I'm going to call it the way I see it, in some of these hick towns, and everything in that town is built around that jail. That jail makes that population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like you have college towns, you have jail towns.
Mm-hmm.
You take away that jail, and it's just a blimp on the map. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and I know here in Chicago, one of the biggest concerns now is that when you close those 50 schools, now these kids got to cross gang territory to go to school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're hiring, supposedly hiring 600 people to do safe passage. In other words, to give these, to be along the passageways of these children going over to these new schools area. Really?
Mm.
Really?
Wow.
How long is that going to last? What, you going to do at the first week of school?
Mm-hmm. So are they busing the children over there? Or?
No.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Yep, these kids who have to walk to school will still be walking to school, and you know, I mean, like you going over into those unfamiliar neighborhoods. I'm like, wow. So these kids are going to be set up. I want to know when learning going to occur, because it's already a hard situation when you're in a brand new environment that you're not familiar with at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with brand new students around them as well. They in that brand new school, well, we already say the brand new environment, the teacher is not as bad, because your teacher can change from year to year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The brand new group of students, brand new area, and you nervous about the fact that you still got to make it home. You know, because sometimes you, even in your own neighborhood school, you're concerned with making it home. Now you're doubly concerned with making it home.
That is just too much, you know. It's just, you know, it's crazy how everything is just, like, you know, everything is becoming so blatant, you know, because
it really is.
They don't care.
Like,
they have these. They have these judges that are Ku Klux Klansmen, policemen that are Ku Klux Klansmen. Now they're really just coming all out. They just don't have that respect. They don't have respect for President Obama. They don't have respect for any person of color that really is a threat to them. And some that are not threats to them. They just so daggone disrespectful.
Yep.
Just disrespectful. So I think we've come to the end of a show. This show was kind of good, a little bit informative, but, you know, I just, like I said, I'm going to be praying for Trayvon's parents to get justice, because that's the only thing that I think will give them a little bit of relief, you know, even though I know they will never be relieved of the fact of losing their child like that. But if they know that they got justice and this man goes to jail for a lengthy time, because I know they're not going to give him all the time that he deserves, which is life. You know, he does not deserve to ever be out on the street to see his children grow up, to be with his wife, you know, to enjoy the sunlight and all that good stuff. He never deserves that. But I know that if he does get any time, it'd probably be like a little slap on the wrist. You know, but that's not the last person that he had to answer to. So, as we all know, that Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com or either of my co-hosts, Rhea at RheaAlexis at yahoo.com. That's R-H-E-A-A-L-I-X-S at yahoo.com.
Gail.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
R-H-E-A-L-E-X-I-S.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Spell it again, huh?
I thought it was the last time, but I was sick, so I thought I was hearing things.
Oh, my goodness.
I was out of it.
Okay.
I'm laughing, but I was out of it. I was trying to hang, and it's like, okay.
Okay, it's Aura.
R-H-E-A-A-L-E-X-I-S.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, everybody, we're going to do this again. It's R-H-E-A-A-L-E-X-I-S at yahoo.com. Is that correct, Rhea?
Yes,
okay.
That's me.
And Danny's is at munchthemouth at gmail.com. That's munchdamouth at gmail.com. And in the subject line, put topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour or an hour and a half or for maybe 2 hours sometimes, you know, with adult conversation. Tune in every Friday, every first Friday of the month for Open Topic and the last Friday of the month for my musical show. And on Sunday, please stop by Gail's Blues Joint. That's at 7 p.m. where you hear blues and sassy music. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is just a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea, for, you know, being my co-host. And next Wednesday, Bringing Sexy Back will have been on the air for a year. Can you believe that? Rhea?
Having fun. Time goes fast when you have fun.
Yeah, how about that? It'd be a year next Wednesday. So what we're going to do, we're going to probably just go over some of the shows that, you know, and talk about some of the shows that we did since then, you know, sort of like going down memory lane next Wednesday. But it's be a year.
Wow.
I can't believe that year went by so fast, you know, but time flies, like you said, when you're having fun.
Well, I know when I was younger, they used to always say, as you get older, time goes faster.
Mm-hmm.
They were right.
Yes.
They were definitely right. It's like sometimes, just like 2013 is halfway over.
Yes, isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes, it goes by so fast. But when you're young, it just seems like
goodness.
Yep, just dragging and dragging. Next thing you know, it'll be 2020. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Time just flies. Time waits for no one. But, you know, it's a good thing when we're still hanging in there, you know. That's the best thing about it because, yeah, a lot of people didn't get to live to see a black president, you know, and, you know, to see some of the things that transpired during this century. But, you know, we're blessed and we're here to see these things and, you know, be grateful and thankful that we are. You know, and I hope I live another 160-some years. Notice I said live. I don't want to exist now because they have people that's 100 and something, but they're just existing. I want to live, you know, to be able to walk, talk, take care of myself and still get around.
You.
And, you know, that's what I want. I want to live, you know.
Gotcha.
You know, but yeah, so I appreciate everybody else that came out. And like I said, next week's show, we're going to be reminiscing about the shows that we did since we launched Bringing Sexy Back. And I'm going to give you a call really quick because I want to just have a little quick conversation with you when we get off the line. So with that being said, everybody, thanks for dropping in tonight and hope you learned something. If you didn't, I do appreciate you just listening. And everybody have a good night and the rest of the week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.